Welcome back, everyone, to the Big Sky Podcast Network Power Rankings, presented by Tubbs at the Club, meaning presented by Snake River Stampede Canadian Whiskey. I'm your host, Brian Marceau. And look, dudes, we're really closing in on the end of the season. 2 weeks of Big Sky play left after what we're going to talk about this week. The way the power rankings work is, hey, 12 through 1, it's the average total of individual votes by Big Sky Podcast Network contributors like me, like Dallas Hammer of Tubbs of the Club, Brent Wahlberg of Grizz Fan. We also have Big Sky area beat reporters who vote as well. Guys like Trevin Pixley covering University of Idaho. Guys like Coulter Nuanis and Andrew Houghton from Skyline Sports, MT, and ESPN Missoula covering the Montana schools plus the rest of Big Sky. And then we also just know a good number of people who pay attention to the entire conference. That's our voters. That's how we get 12 through 1. Because of how deep we are into the season, I'm treating this exactly like I did last week from here on, which is we're going to break the conference into tiers. And I'm just not going to spend a ton of time on the lower tier teams because look, if we're this deep into the season and you have one or two wins, we know who you are and we know what the rest of your season's for. But the intrigue to me is really at the top of the conference. Yeah, there's a little bit in the middle, but what I think people should mostly care about at this point is obviously your own team, but then sorting out the playoff picture, because we're very close to playoff season. We're very close to the final. We have two games. Like I said, two games. That's all we have left to sort this out, guys. The football season just goes by in a damn blink. So without further ado, we're going to talk about the bottom tier just as quickly as I can. Tier 4, Northern Colorado, Cal Poly. In that order, Northern Colorado 12, Cal Poly 11. Look, Northern Colorado had a relatively frisky week against Idaho. The Bears lose 27-13 at home, although that was a one-score game until a very late pick six by Idaho cornerback Marcus Harris turned that game into a 27-13 win. So, you know, for the Bears, I guess what I'd say is, look, offensively, the Bears were atrocious because that is who they are. But defensively, look, you did see a little bit of life out of Northern Colorado against Idaho. So I guess that's what you'd say is relative strength of your Bears, which makes sense. Ed Lamb is a former defensive coordinator. But for Northern Colorado to become anything competitive in the conference, they have to be able to score. Look, they scored 13 points against Idaho, which is barely below the average Northern Colorado has in Big Sky play, which if that's what you're going to do, you're just not going to win any football games at all. Northern Colorado on the season, Big Sky on the Big Sky season, averaging 14.2 points a game. Nothing you can do there. Moving on, Cal Poly was decimated at Eastern Washington, going down 48-13. No real takeaway again from Cal Poly. Cal Poly has not been able to stop anyone defensively the entire season. The Mustangs are giving up 42.7 points per game, which, just like we said a second ago for Northern Colorado, hey, giving up 48 points to Eastern is barely or not that far beyond the team's average. And I guess the most impressive stat to me is how Cal Poly was able to surrender 48 points while Eastern only accrued 374 yards. We are done talking about Cal Poly. Moving on to the next tier three. Tier three, it's that, hey, this is teams essentially, it's 10 through 5. And in order from 10 through 5, we have Idaho State, Weber State, Northern Arizona, top five, Portland State, Eastern Washington, UC Davis. We're going to talk about Idaho State and Weber together because the Bengals hosted Weber State Wildcats. And it was rough week for Idaho State. The Bengals go down 33-21 in Pocatello. The Idaho State end of this is Idaho State. They just missed out on a lot of chances to put some points in the end zone early, which is how Weber State jumped out to a 21-0 lead at halftime. Closest this game got from the Idaho State end was before a touchdown with 25 seconds left in the game was with 13 minutes left in the fourth quarter. The Bengals had crawled back a little bit. We're down 28-13. And anyway, takeaways from Idaho State. Look, we know the team can move the ball through the air, but defensively they're not there yet. Year one for Cody Hawkins. They surrendered 406 yards to Weber State easily. One of the best offensive outings of Big Sky play for Weber State. Counting this game, Weber State on the Big Sky season is averaging 303 yards per game, second worst in the conference. So accruing 406 is a huge get for the Wildcats. I guess the Wildcat end you talk about is it's unclear if Weber's kind of found a little bit of an answer on the offensive end. Kylan Weiser, who this show has talked about with regularity, we don't like to call out individual players, but felt like it's been pretty obvious. Weiser was the least effective starting Big Sky quarterback in the league for the entire season. He was replaced a couple weeks ago by true freshman Richie Munoz. And against Idaho State, Munoz did not light the world on fire. He went 26 of 41 for 222 yards, three touchdowns and a pick. Although his pick, it's hard to hold that against him. Munoz was hit as he threw it, which changed the trajectory of the ball. Idaho State just came down with it. It was more a good play by Idaho State than a poor play by Munoz. But Munoz had a lot more success on those short passes that Weber State overwhelmingly leans on. He was much more successful with those than Kylan Weiser. But Munoz also, he had some strikes down the field too, which was part of what the Weber State offense had been missing. I mean, his first touchdown pass to Jaden Thrower, 23 yards. Second touchdown pass to Jacob Sharp, 19 yards. Third touchdown pass to Hayden Meacham, 26 yards. So look, they're Weber State does have a little more big play ability with Richie Munoz there. So, I mean, I don't know if that means Weber State suddenly becomes a little bit more dangerous for the rest of the conference. Look at look, this is why I have this group batched as 5 through 10. Right now in the Big Sky, we've got six teams tied at 3-3 with Weber State just on the outside of that at 2-4. So we got seven teams that are between 3-3 and 2-4. That's quite a glut in the middle and hard to differentiate between the two. But the Weber State end here is if the Wildcats can score a few points, they're suddenly a little more dangerous to hurt someone else's playoff hopes like Idaho next week. Keep in mind, this is most certainly what you call an aberration for what Weber State has done in the conference season. I mean, this is the second highest scoring total Weber State has had the entire year, 33 points. And it's the first time Weber State broke 30 points since the second week of the season at Northern Iowa. So if scoring around this level is suddenly on the table for Weber State, okay, this is no longer a walkthrough game like it looked like for these last 2 weeks of the year. Talking about the other teams, Portland State, Portland State, they're one of the teams that's tougher to project because they're just like all the other teams in this middle glut. They are so up and down week in, week out. Well, this week, Portland State, so I get to talk about Portland State and Davis at the same time. Davis is at the top of this glut, but I don't think you should care who is truly at the top of this glut. Portland State goes down to UC Davis 37-23 at Davis. The Portland State end, Joby Mallory, who had huge week, six rushing touchdowns on the ground the week before. He's held in check by UC Davis. Hey, UC Davis was the number two rushing defense in the Big Sky heading into this game. That's kind of what they do. Joby Mallory, 21 carries for 86 yards and a touchdown. Dante Sacheret, quarterback, 14-23, 219 yards and a touchdown. But I mean, the big takeaway I'd have here is that defensively, UC Davis was able to keep the number two total offense of the Big Sky and essentially in check, holding Portland State to 308 total yards, about 130 below their Big Sky season average heading into this game. And then Davis was able to move the ball the way we've kind of been waiting to see Davis move the ball for many of their games. This game, for 465 yards on the 465 total yards accrued. Miles Hastings, quarterback, 14-22, 246 yards, one touchdown, one pick. That's just kind of who Hastings is this season compared to last. He's throwing a lot more picks, isn't moving the ball quite as well as he was as a first-team All-Big Sky quarterback last season. But for Davis, Land Larison's back, one of the best running backs in the league, 25 carries, 136 yards on the ground, three touchdowns. He also did not catch any passes, but leading receiver for Davis, Samuel Gabatu Jr., four catches, 70 yards, and a touchdown. Takeaway from this is, hey, these teams are both up and down. I mean, that's it. The middle glut of the conference is, depending on whatever week you're talking about, it's very hard to have any sort of idea what you think you're going to get out of them. I mean, last week, Portland State hung 47 on Eastern and then, loses here. But then Davis the week before lost convincingly at Northern Arizona, but then picks up the win here. So, okay, this is every team in this middle glut is just up and down, man. So, I mean, look, I get to talk about Northern Arizona, who I skipped over, another incredibly up and down team, part of that middle glut. Northern Arizona does exactly what they should do, losing at Montana State 45-21. I don't think there's much intrigue on the Northern Arizona takeaway from this game. I mean, they're nearly doubled up in yards accrued. Montana State rebounds from the very narrow loss at Idaho. We'll say for Northern Arizona, Angel Flores was in at quarterback. No Adam DeMonte. Flores goes 12 of 18 for 97 yards and a pick. On the ground, NAU, 30 carries for 100 yards, just couldn't really do anything against Montana State, but Montana State has one of the best defenses in the conference, so that's what you expect. We'll hit the Montana State end later. And to close out this group, already referenced the Cal Poly end, but Eastern Washington walks away from Cal Poly 48-13. Did not gain nearly the type of yards that you'd expect for a team scoring 48 points, but it's Cal Poly, so who cares? The Mustangs turn the ball over three times. That's part of how you get there. Eastern through the air accrues 169 yards passing, 205 yards rushing, averaging 5 yards a rush. So there you go. Kiko Vesperas, quarterback for Eastern, 15-25, 169 yards and 2 touchdowns. Tune Alta here led Eastern on the ground. 12 carries, 104 yards, 2 touchdowns. So I guess to take a step back and look at, like, are there any sort of playoff implications for the glut in the middle of the conference? Mostly the answer I'd say is no. Look, Idaho State, they sit 3-3 in one of the many 3-3 teams in conference, 3-6 overall in the season, winning out takes them 5-6, no shot at playoffs. Portland State 3-3 in conference, 4-5 overall, but one of those is an NAIA win. So they're 3-5 for playoff purposes, going 5-5 on the year, even with a win over Montana. If that were to happen this week, they're not making the playoffs. Eastern Washington is the only team who you could squint and pretend there's a chance. The Eagles are 3-3, 4-5 overall in the season. If the Eagles were to beat Montana State this week, which is quite a tall order, maybe you say that math changes and Eastern can hope they're on the bubble if they win out at 6-5, but I'll worry about that when it happens. NAU is 3-6 overall, no shot. Davis is the only team, I guess you'd say, has an actual playoff chance, sitting at 5-4 overall, 3-3 in the conference season, with the final two games Davis has include Idaho State and then hosting Sacramento State. So I guess to be fair, Davis does have the ability to play themselves onto the bubble. If Davis gets to the bubble, I'd assume they would be one of the last teams to potentially be in the playoffs. And would honestly, if they're going to beat Sacramento State last week of the season, that means in theory, both Davis and Sac State could be 7-win teams. That could mean it's just Davis and Sac State deciding who's going to be the final Big Sky team in the playoffs. In the comments section, real quick, we have Captain58 saying, love seeing Big Sky products like Shahid turn it up in the league. Talking about Rashid Shahid on the New Orleans Saints. Have Cheetah will view. Idaho struggled a bit. We'll get there. Have Cheetah will view. Ron Lowney, now they are suddenly good. Now that you have to play them, you're starting to sound like you're from Missoula. Oh, wait, just a bit. Ron, I feel like I'm lost. Half Cheetah will travel. Weber State will be a landmine. Ron Lowney, we played NAU 45 points better than the Grizz did. Okay. Ron, really glad to have you back in the comment section. I promise we're going to hit the Idaho end in a second. We got to get there. Anyway, to close that's the close of this tier three is, we're going to talk. Look, Sacramento State is tier two. They're tier two by themselves. But Davis and Sac State are starting to look like there might be a little bit of a crossover. And there's a chance that the Causeway Classic next week is essentially a play-in game for the playoffs between Davis and Sac State. But I don't really see how the Big Sky could possibly be looking at 5 playoff teams. So of this glut in the middle, Davis is the only one in my mind with legitimate playoff aspirations. And I'd say they're pretty far on the outside looking in right now. Next tier we'll get to after talk about show sponsor Snake River Stampede Canadian Whiskey. Look, if you haven't tried Snake River yet, And you're listening to the show. I don't know what's wrong with you guys. It's one of the best buys in Idaho State Liquor Store. Snake River Stampede at $25.95 a fifth, $45.95 a handle, which is exclusively the size I buy. If you're looking at the small batch with 1915, which is aged an additional 2 years, you're talking about $38.95 a fifth. But for what probably the best Canadian whiskey available in Idaho State Liquor Stores, that's a steal. Both the Snake River Stampede and the 1915 Small Batch have double barrel finishes. The Snake River Stampede, first fill bourbon and Oloroso sherry casks. The 1915, in addition to that extra 2 years of aging, its finishes first fill bourbon, then ex-Canadian rye whiskey casks. No matter which one you pick, you absolutely cannot go wrong. Give Snake River a shot if you haven't. And if you have, get that backup bottle, man. I always have a backup bottle ready because you never know. Or actually, you do know. You always want it. Snake River Stampede. Okay, dudes, the next tier is tier two, and I'm starting to wonder if it should be tier two. Sacramento State. So Sacramento State had a rough week, and we can kind of put a button on how to understand Sacramento State in relation to the Big Sky as a whole. So Sacramento State loses at Montana 34-7. The Hornets scored on, it was either their first or second drive, and it was just a desert after that. Total yards accrued for Sac State, 268. We'll get to the Montana State end, but let's just say Sacramento State defensively had no answer for Montana the entire day. And a big thing that hurt Sacramento State is between Caden Bennett, starter, dual threat, and Carson Conklin, freshman, who came in relief last week against Idaho State when Sac State trailed 16-14, then led Sacramento State to that 51-16 win. He played some relief ball too, but look, those two quarterbacks combined to go 15 of 39 for 119 yards through the air, I know there was wind, and I know that Montana defense, which we'll talk about when we get to the grist section, they're just looking like a different animal, but 15 to 39 is barely going to get it done against Northern Colorado. So against Montana, obviously, it's not going to be close to enough. Running back Marcus Fulcher led the team on the ground, 11 carries for 87 yards and a touchdown. Fulcher also one catch for 2 yards. He also dropped a couple big passes. But if you want to look at other meaningful stats, pretty wild to think the Grizz had the ball for 35 minutes. The Grizz, who heading into this game had just not been good offensively, even in wins, they had not been particularly great offensively. This is easily the best offensive showing for the Grizz, which is to say a catastrophic letdown if you're a Sacramento State Hornet. So the takeaways, talking Sacramento State now. Look, the Hornets finished their round robin against the tier one teams of Montana, Montana State, and Idaho. And the Hornets finished 0-3. So, look, those three teams above Sacramento State are going to get a bye. But you'd have to say, look, you get swept by those three teams, especially the way punctuating that run of three with just that obliteration at Montana. I mean, the Sacramento State team should not be looking at a bye in the first round of the playoffs, you know, depending on how the rest of the nation shakes out. This is, the Sacramento State looks like the kind of team who they – potentially deserve to be in the playoffs in the first round, but like you wouldn't be shocked at all if a Western team like Sac State, who's probably not going to play a Pioneer Conference team, if they have a rougher first round matchup, you're not surprised if they lose that playoff game by 2 scores, but they still made it to the playoffs. Comment section, Captain58 says the wind, maybe Sac just can't throw. Well, look, on the conference season, Captain, Sacramento State passing offense, that now this counts. The Montana game just referenced. Sac State, like they're fine. Like they're the number 6 passing offense in the Big Sky at 224 yards per game. If you want to pay attention to passing touchdowns, they're tied. There's like 5 teams tied for 11 passing touchdowns in Big Sky play. Sacramento State is one of those teams. You want to talk about yards per pass. Sacramento State, they're a little bit lower at number 8 in the conference, so a little more short passes, but no one has ever accused Caden Bennett of being the most accurate quarterback in the league, I guess. And look at their completion percentages right around the midline of the league at 59% too. So I don't disagree, Cap Dan. The takeaway is probably like, hey, Sac State's not that great a passing team. They're not a terrible passing team. I think that was more a combination of, I think the wind wasn't irrelevant, but I also think they were not ready for Montana defensively. And that's to me the bigger takeaway. Oh man, Caden Bennett was really off. His misses were pretty dramatic to me, which, like, if you're a fan or you're just a Big Sky, if you're a Big Sky fan of another team, you're thinking, hey, why did this Conklin kid even get a shot against Montana? Well, in reference, he led Idaho State in that big comeback the week before against Idaho State, or in that blowout against Idaho State, who, look, Idaho State defensively is not Montana, but Idaho State's not garbage by any means. And Caden Bennett against Montana, he was barely, the passes he was missing so badly they couldn't even be interceptions, which, hey, like, I mean, that's, it's good to not throw the picks, but he was barely in the same zip code as his receivers. So I completely understand Andy Thompson giving Carson Conklin a shot, especially when you talk about it, you know, Sac State scoring their first drive, then had nothing the rest of the way. This was an important game for Sacramento State to pick up a win, and they did not. Also, the team clearly was rattled by the physicality of Montana. You could see it in, like, hey, half the players left field without shaking Grizzlies' hands. Huge amount of penalties. The team scores 7 points on their first or second drive, then nothing the rest of the way. I think we just know who Sacramento State is. They're pretty good. They're certainly not bye worthy. They are absolutely not in the same level as Montana, Montana State, Idaho, which, hey, we're going to get to that next tier. The final tier we're going to talk about right after we hear from Hughes River Expedition. Look, here's the thing about Hughes River Expedition. If you are interested in seeing the great outdoors at all, you want to go on a rafting trip, you want to see some white water, you want to see nature you're not going to see otherwise, you want to see some pristine beaches that you can only get to with a guide, you want to see scenic trails, you want to see wildlife that you're not going to see otherwise, get a hold of Colin. It doesn't matter if it's just you and your family. It doesn't matter if it's like a larger corporate/business kind of grouping. Hughes River Expedition does both, and the trips are all inclusive. So truly, book it and just get your ass there. Colin takes care of the rest. Call him now at 800-262-1882 or check him out at HughesRiver.com. Get a hold of him quick for booking for this upcoming year. The final tier, and the tier that most people care about, tier one. The order of tier one as voted by Big Sky Podcast Network contributors. Number three, Idaho. Number two, Montana State. Number one, Montana. We're going to just talk about the weeks each of them had and then talk about playoff implications at the end, starting Idaho first. Look, Idaho, you could easily call this Idaho's least impressive week, which is coming off of maybe the most impressive week of the Vandals last week, and that 24-21 win at home over Montana State. Well, this week, the Vandals beat Northern Colorado 27-13, as referenced earlier. Game was much closer than the final score would indicate. I mean, Idaho, with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, a Hunter Green field goal for Northern Colorado made this a 17-13 game. Idaho responded to that with a 10-play, 65-yard drive that finished with a field goal by Ricardo Chavez. And then to close the game out, Marcus Harris with a 70-yard pick six. This is the second game Northern Colorado has completely lost by throwing a touchdown to the wrong team. The Idaho version of this is, look, every team is going to have a down week throughout the course of the season. Now, for the most part, you'd rather have that down week be a little bit early and have your team feel like they're hot, like Montana, to close out the year. But look, the Vandals in their worst week of the season still came out with a W. So that's the takeaway to me. And I mean, if you want to call that being a little bit of homerism for me because I'm a Vandal, go ahead. I've watched every single Idaho game. I don't really view this as close to what the Vandals typically are. I just feel like Idaho came out flat, but even though the game was close, it never felt like the result was truly in doubt. It was, I mean, maybe certainly give some defensive credit to Northern Colorado for mostly bending, not breaking, you know, surrendering 20 total points to Idaho there's no way around it. I mean, Idaho is one of the most efficient offenses in the Big Sky. They're the number four scoring team on the season at 32.3 points per game. But with how Idaho sits on the ball on purpose, they're getting that 32 points in fewer total plays, fewer total drives. So good outing by Northern Colorado, but Idaho in a rough week still pulls out a big win. I mean, the thing to keep in mind with Idaho as well is they've got some All-Americans on this team who are going to show up no matter what. Hayden Hatton has one of his best Big Sky games, 6 catches for 104 yards and a touchdown. Anthony Woods, who you know, we're looking at leaders in the Big Sky Conference individual stats. Anthony Woods is the number two overall rusher in yards per game at 101.2 on the season, 5.4 yards per carry, 10 rushing touchdowns. Well, this game, he's 23 carries, 105 yards, and a touchdown. So pretty average outing, which is to say a very good outing for Anthony Woods. So look, Idaho, definitely a letdown week if you're a Vandal, but the Vandals pick up the W. It's their seventh win of the season. If Idaho wins out, there's no way this team isn't hosting a second-round playoff game after a bye. Depending on what shakes out with the other teams, the Big Sky and the rest of FCS, Idaho, on paper, you'd say that this team looks like they're probably going to be seeded, if they went out, somewhere between number two and number five in the nation. Pretty damn good on a second year. Montana State, as referenced earlier, rebounds from their loss to Idaho last week with a blowout of Northern Arizona, 45-21. And this looked like a much more traditional, this looked like the Montana State team you expect playing virtually anyone other than what, like four or five teams in the entire nation. On the game, Montana State outgains NAU 478 yards to 254. Wins time of possession 36 minutes, 24 minutes. Tommy Mellott goes 12 of 18 passing for 126 yards and a touchdown. Mellott also leads the Bobcats on the ground, 10 rushes for 107 yards and a touchdown. It's kind of wild. It's hard to pinpoint who like the most important Bobcat rusher is, but hey, the Bobcats rushed 47 times for 343 yards and five touchdowns. Incredible stats, right back up to what the team's averaged on the year. So for Montana State, getting that rebound W against NAU, big deal. Not this was a surprise at all. Montana State's won what, somewhere between 20 and 25 consecutive home games. The Bobcats pretty damn good in Bozeman. So this, we'll hit their schedule and playoff implications next, but I guess here in the same way, the question for Idaho was, hey, how do you respond from your biggest win of the season? Idaho, hey, kind of struggled. Well, hey, Montana State, they had the adversity of losing at Idaho. How do they respond? Right back to normal, right back to what they'd been prior to that game. I don't think Bobcat fans should be worried whatsoever. Maybe the biggest Big Sky takeaway from this week came from Montana in the aforementioned 35-7 win over Sacramento State. And my bad, 34-7 win over Sacramento State. So look, everyone knows the basic narrative of Montana. They looked like garbage the first half of the season, but second half of the season, especially since that Idaho game, Montana has been Montana's just been a different monster. To go through individual results since Idaho, or if you want to say since UC Davis. So now that's last four games for the Grizz. You have a win at Davis 31-23, win at Idaho 23-21, beating Northern Colorado at home 40-0, and then beating Sacramento State at home 34-7. So very impressive run for the Grizz. I mean, like, if you want to talk about adversity teams that respond to, it was the loss to Northern Arizona, the fourth game of the season, 28-14 loss at Northern Arizona. That was the catalyst for shifting to Clifton McDowell, starting quarterback. It's five consecutive wins for the Grizz, they're one of the few teams to hit the conference standings. The Grizz are one of three teams tied at 5-1 in Big Sky play. That's Idaho, Montana, Montana State. They're all 5-1 in Big Sky play. The Grizz have easily the worst Big Sky loss to Northern Arizona, but they also have a head-to-head win over Idaho. That's the Vandals' loss. And the Vandals have the head-to-head win over Montana State. That's the Bobcat loss. So that's our Big Sky Conference championship slate right there. So those three teams are 5-1. One of those three teams is for a fact going to win this conference, because it's not possible for the Grizz or the Bobcats to go 0-2 over these final 2 weeks because they play each other. So there's no one other than those top three teams in play for Big Sky Conference Championship. Montana this week, to go back to their performance, look, they already referenced how Sac State could not pass, and a ton of that you got to attribute to the Grizz defense. But offensively, Montana State, 547 total yards easily the best outing the Grizz had. Quarterback Clifton McDowell, 11-21 for 218 yards, two touchdowns, and one pick. Junior Bergen, wide receiver, also threw a completion, 1-1 for 24 yards. Then on the ground, the Grizz rush a Montana State Bobcat-esque 50 times for 305 yards and three touchdowns. This is a level of offensive production we just have not seen from Montana prior to this week, in my mind. And look, I pay attention to the entire conference. So I guess my takeaway is, if you thought this week was a prove it game for Montana, like if you were, as talked about on Tubbs of the Club, if your view of Idaho Montana is that Idaho gave that game away, then Montana Sac State was kind of a quote unquote prove it game. Well, Montana State just beat the shit out of Sac State worse than Idaho or Montana State did. So I think Montana proved it. I voted them number one in our power ranking polls. I feel like you just, for the totality of a team's resume, you don't ignore the first 4 weeks. That absolutely happened. But if you're talking about your team individually matching up with Montana on a given week, which is how the games actually go, you can throw out those first 4 weeks. This Montana team has found a different level they're playing at. They've got defensive fire like you expect Bobby Hauk teams to have. And offensively, they're starting to move the ball a bit more. I mean, look, and I know Northern Colorado is not any good, but they just hung with Idaho. So it's not nothing to beat Northern Colorado 40-0, then follow that up with almost 550 yards against Sacramento State, a very likely playoff team. So that's the week that was for those teams. Now I want to just talk about, I guess I already talked about the UC Davis playoff picture, so we're done there. But I want to spend about 10 minutes talking about the playoff picture for the rest of the Big Sky Conference. After we hit the comment section, we've got Ron Lowney saying dome teams usually don't fare well either. He's talking about dome teams playing in inclement weather. That's why it's important for Idaho to host as far into the playoffs as they can, to me. Not that Idaho can't play in the outdoors, but you're not wrong. Idaho's a dome team. As a Vandal, I want them at home as much as they possibly can be. Have Cheetah will view. Bobcats will get an FBS win next year as well. Okay, I'll worry about that next year, though. Martin Heemster in the comments section. Who has a better defense, Northern Colorado or your Duster? If you're a listener, you're heard of this. If you're a viewer, you can see that Duster over my left shoulder, and I think it's close. It's a very reasonable question. Northern Colorado might have a slight edge based off what we saw this week, but that can change. Ron Lowney saying playoff football is a different level. Correct. And half cheetah will view Montana is dangerous. Yeah. So hey, let's talk playoff picture now. Hit Sac State for a moment. Sac State to me has no prayer of hosting a playoff game. At least I don't think anyone should assume Sac State should be or if they're a host, it's because they have an overwhelming bid. But no one should be talking about Sacramento State as having any sort of first-round bye aspirations. The strength of the schedule is that, look, Nicholls State, the first-week opponent of Sac, they're winning the Southland right now. So that Nicholls State win early on might turn out to be a quality win. And Sacramento State has a win over FBS Stanford. So those are the two biggest or two best wins Sacramento State has. They need to hope the Bengals can win out, but I don't know if that'll be understood as a quality win. To close out the year, Sac State has Cal Poly and Davis. Cal Poly needs to be a walkaway win for Sacramento. It's not a quality win. And they need to hope Davis wins out so that final week against Davis is considered a quality win for the Hornets. Now talk about Idaho, Montana State, and Montana. All three of these teams should absolutely be in discussion for a first-round bye. And I really think Montana State, even if Montana State loses to the Grizz the final week of the season, I really think Montana State should be understood as a bye team. So let's talk about Montana State and what they have. The next 2 weeks, they've got Eastern Washington, a solid-ish team, and like not a good team, not a playoff team, but certainly like Eastern's not terrible. They're in that mid-glut of the conference that is – you know, God knows what showing up each week. Eastern is one of the worst pass rush defenses in the Big Sky. I expect Montana is going to have virtually no difficulty with Eastern. Eastern gives up they're the number 11 rushing defense in Big Sky play, give up 5.9 yards per rushes, 225.8 yards per game. if you're a Montana State fan, you're not worried about that game. And then the matchup with Montana to close the year is that's the heavyweight title you hope for. There's a, if both teams win this coming week, you're talking about that as a de facto partial Big Sky Conference championship. Whoever wins that's going to have a share of the Big Sky Conference championship. Both these teams can't, with three teams having one, each having one loss. It's virtually impossible for that game to not knock one of the teams out for potential title contention, unless Idaho picks up a loss, unless it turns into three teams being split with two losses, which would, I don't know, for playoff purposes, I hope that's not the case. So for Montana State, I mean, obviously if they win out, there's no way this isn't like a top four or five seed. I guess Montana State's more interesting if the Bobcats pick up a third loss in Cat Grizz. And if they win that game, it's another quality win. The Bobcats finish with two total losses, and that'd be at South Dakota State and at Idaho. Those are two pretty damn good losses in two games that Montana State could have won. You have to expect that's not going to hurt their seeding much whatsoever. But if the Bobcats pick up a third competitive loss against a top five team, I don't know what that means other than to say I hope they still get a seed even with three losses. The Idaho end. Idaho closes out the year. Idaho's already played their most difficult games. Their strength of schedule is going to go down a little bit. Montana's strength of schedule is going to go up over these last couple games. Idaho gets Weber State this week. Weber State looking a little more frisky offensively, which, one, not a very high bar to clear. But two, hey, Idaho's coming off their worst week of the season. Weber State coming off probably their best week of the season. It's going to be a big week for the Vandals. They're going to have to recover on the road. But if the Vandals win out, they're in discussion for somewhere between a 2-4 seed in the FCS playoffs, which is a for sure bye and a for sure hosting a quarterfinal matchup if they were to win their round two matchup. So that's the stakes for Idaho. They went 2-1 in that round robin with Sac State, Montana State, beating Sac State and Montana State, then losing to Montana. Montana State right now in that round robin sits at 1-1, having beaten Sac State, but lost to Idaho. And now for Montana, look, the tail of the tape for Montana is essentially identical to the tail of the tape for Idaho. If the strength of schedule for Montana is going to go up over these next 2 weeks with Portland State and Montana State, if the Grizz pick up wins in both of those, their resume moves up. In comparison to Idaho, because that's what we're talking about for comparison's sake. I don't think it's worthwhile comparing any of these teams to South Dakota State. I think South Dakota State, if they win out, they're brain dead the number one seed, because they should be. But if Montana wins out, you'd say they have a pretty dang similar resume to Idaho on the season. But with the head-to-head, Montana probably should be narrowly above Idaho for seeding purposes if they're to win out. Now, if Montana doesn't win out, they absolutely should not be seeded above Idaho with – you know, two Big Sky losses to Idaho's one, including for Montana. Look, that NAU loss, I know it was early in the season. I know for projecting the Grizz week by week, you shouldn't factor that in. But when we're talking for seeding purposes, who you lose to does matter. And the loss to NAU is a significantly worse loss than what Idaho has on their resume, or what, as of now, what Montana State has on their resume. So, none of these top three teams really have much margin for error based off the seeding aspirations they have. But if Montana State wins out, if they're not a two seed or at worst a three seed, then man, I don't know. I'm pissed at the committee as a Big Sky fan, let alone as a Grizz fan. But hey, ditto Idaho. If Idaho wins out and Montana loses a game, if Idaho's not the two or three seed, I'm pissed at the playoff committee. The Grizz of these three teams, look, the Grizz, they get to finish their round robin. Right now they sit at 2-0 against Idaho, Sac State, haven't played Montana State, but you know, a win against Portland State and a win against Montana State, that's pretty damn big deal. I want to pause and talk about the Eastern Weber State and Portland State dynamic that Idaho, Montana State have for this coming week, which is, look, for Montana, Portland State 4-5 on the year, 3-5 versus FCS. Portland State, they're very strong offense on the ground, but the Grizz are built to stop teams on the ground. We already hit the Idaho Weber State end a little bit more. We talked about the Eastern Montana State end a little bit, but look, Montana State looks like they recovered, and Eastern would be a great team to really dial in the rest of what Montana State needs to have down for playing Montana in Missoula that last game of the season. Honestly, I think if you look at Tommy Mellott throwing a little bit more passes now than he had earlier in the year, I feel like that's part of the recipe for Montana State being able to beat Montana, which is if Montana is able to gang up on Montana State on the ground like the Vandals were in that first half in Moscow, then Montana State has to feel like they can win some one-on-one matchups through the pass. Tommy Mellott's a pretty solid quarterback on intermediate pass plays, but that's what I interpret of seeing 18 passes from Tommy Mellott against NAU. That's part of it. Ron Lowney in the comment section saying Eastern has no defense. No, Ron, you're 100% right. Eastern can score. They don't score as well as like Portland State, but you know they can score some points, but I don't think it's going to matter because I think your Bobcats are going to run through them on the ground because the Montana State, if they're not the best rushing offense in the nation, they're the second best. You know, want to look at Big Sky figures because that's what we're here talking about. Montana State is the number one rushing team in the Big Sky, averaging 298 yards per game on six games with 21 total touchdowns. That's about 42 yards per game better than number two Portland State, who's at 257 yards per game and 19 touchdowns. The number three rushing offense in the Big Sky is Montana at 186. So the gap between number one Montana State and number three Montana and Big Sky play is over one. It's 113 yards essentially. So that's what we're talking Bobcats. So hey, to close this out, these last 2 weeks of the season for playoff purposes, huge for these three teams. Montana and Montana State cannot both win out. It's essential for them both to come away with W's. The most concerning matchup out of those Montana State to me is Portland State. But with how Montana's been playing defensively, they are built to beat a team like Portland State. Idaho Weber is, look, on paper, Weber only has two Big Sky wins against Northern Colorado and Idaho State, but off the best week of the season for Weber State, this matchup has a little more intrigue than I as a Vandal thought it would have 2 weeks ago. But anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in. If you want to support the shows, subscribe to the Patreon at patreon.com/tubsattheclub. If you're a Vandal, the hashtag OnlyTubs Discord is essentially a lot of Vandal, a lot of Big Sky chat throughout the week. But then game day, especially road games, it is wire-to-wire chat with a bunch of Vandals. We're all cool, kick-ass people. It doesn't, our Discord does not have any of the dumpster fire impact that, you know, places like Twitter or Facebook often has. It's mostly people who are nice and funny trying to be smart about football and talk about the teams they like. Another way to support the show is hit the subscribe button on YouTube, guys. Costs you nothing, and the more subscribers we get, the quicker YouTube has to maybe pay us something. But to close out the comment section, Ron Lowney with fire, talking about Montana State offensively. Nate Mink, only one team in Idaho won this weekend. Damn right, Nate. BSU with a loss. Idaho State with a loss. Who runs the state? Idaho. Ron Lowney, that's why you don't celebrate until after the season is over. Absolutely. Have Cheetah Willview, happy to see Idaho Weber State playing three games upcoming. Yeah. You're, of course, talking about into the future. Have Cheetah Willview. But anyway, that's it, guys. Thanks for tuning in. And honestly, man, we've got two more weeks of football. I don't know what we're going to do for the show after next week, but we'll get there. And if you're a non-Grizz, if you're a non-Cat, enjoy this week. Because as far as Big Sky Media is concerned, Cat Grizz is going to take over everything in 2 weeks. So enjoy the calm before the storm, or enjoy the calm before you do that machine gun mute on accounts. Just remember the guys that you want to have back after Cat Grizz is over. But Big Sky Basketball coming up soon, just like Have Cheetah Will View brings up. Hey, for Idaho, Monday, their season starts at Washington State. We'll Tubbs of the Club will get to talking Big Sky Basketball, but look, this football season has been too electric for Idaho. And then for, you know, the show like this, we're covering the whole conference. We've got three teams that should potentially be seeded in the top five, man. That's a pretty damn good slate. So no, Big Sky football, we know it's going to keep rolling well into December because we have some of these better. We have, Idaho, Montana, Montana State, there's no way these teams aren't going to make it. There's no way a couple of these teams aren't at least going to make it to the final eight right now. So I don't know what else to say, guys. It's been a kick-ass Big Sky season. It's getting real intense if you're one of those top three teams. We'll see you guys again here next week once I figure out how to find a video to play us out with, which is why I'm manically scrolling with my hand that's not on the screen. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And as always, go Vandals.